Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mo.
Well, happy Sabbath, church family. Amen. What a blessing it is to be in the Lord's house. And could you imagine when God the Father and Jesus Christ sing together to welcome us in heaven? That would be wonderful. And by God's grace, we are a day closer to that event. Let us have a word of prayer as we do the most important thing in life, and that is to study the Word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of time, but also the privilege to be alive today and to be able to study, thus saith the Lord. Please be with us today, Father, and may you be lifted very high, for that is our prayer, in Jesus' name, amen. We've been going through a series here in Lansing, through the fruits of the Spirit, entitled Freedom. Why freedom? Because when we apply these fruits, they can help us to be free from the bondage of sin. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we know by God's grace that we shall bear the fruits of the Spirit. The Bible verse, we've been using the NESB version here for our study, just so that we can be a little bit more thorough. But our text comes from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. The Word of God says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no what? There is no law. There is freedom. You could apply all of these fruits as much as you want. Amen? Amen. There's no limit to love, no limit to joy, and definitely today there is no limit to peace. But you might be asking me, well, Pastor Mo, how can we have peace in a world that is not so peaceful? As a matter of fact, if you were to ask most people today, whoever you might be, peace of mind might be one of the most important things that we want today. Peace of mind. But most of us have to admit that we experience probably stress more than peace. Let me give you a quiz today, and we're going to test how stressful we might be. Are you ready for your quiz? All right. Try to complete these sentences for me. I am ready to throw in the... Wow. I am at the end of my... I am just a bundle of... Oh, man. My life is falling... Wow, you guys have A-plus thus far. I am at my wits... I feel like resigning from the human. Wow. Now, how do you know these answers? Because you've probably heard it before, or maybe you have experienced them before. I got to tell you, Lansing Church and Lansing friends, you are an expert in stress. And stress, unfortunately, is a fact of our modern world. And the more we develop speed and all sorts of different things in life, it seems that we're becoming more stressed and more stressed as time goes by. As a matter of fact, today, if you could make a cure against stress, you would be a rich person. For centuries, the Bible has been thinking about this subject, so much so that when you think about it, Solomon said, "A sound mind makes for a robust body, but runaway emotions corrodes the bones." Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30. The Bible, and I praise the Lord for the Word of God, because the Bible knows that we might face stress at the end of time. Amen? And the Bible has a lot to say about how to gain the right peace of mind, living at the toenails of the statue of Daniel 2. How to have peace of mind. The Word of God gives us three kinds of peace that it says are important for us to have peace of mind. Are you ready, my friends, as we dig deeper into the Word of God? All right, the first thing, the first type of peace that we need to experience is spiritual peace. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says it this way, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with who? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the foundation of all peace. The first peace that we need in this life is to have peace with God. My friends, have you made peace with God? That is the foundation of it all. As a matter of fact, Jesus says it this way. He says in John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through who, my friends? Through me." If you want to have peace with God today, you and I must accept Jesus Christ in our life. That is the key to all peace, is to have Jesus in the heart. If we invite Jesus in the heart, we shall have peace by God's grace with God. So the first type of peace that we need is spiritual peace. The second type of peace is probably the peace that we think about the most. Emotional peace. Emotional peace. But I want to tell you today that in order for us to have emotional peace, we first, again, need to have peace with God. If we never make peace with God, we will never be able to attain the type of emotional peace that God has for us. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it this way in Colossians chapter 3, and verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful." As a matter of fact, the word therefore rule is a very important word because it actually means to umpire. Now, for those of you who play the game of baseball, what is an umpire? What does he do? He calls the shots. Very good. What is his main task? That is exactly right, Sister Patty. He makes sure that the rules are followed. More importantly, he makes sure that the game is fair. Now, with that context in mind, it says, "Let the peace of Christ do what, my friends? Umpire your heart." In other words, Jesus is telling us through the writings of Paul here that when we invite Christ into our lives, he manages your heart. He rules your heart. Have you ever had emotions in your life that have almost broken you down? Or maybe feelings that you're going through at this moment right now that are not feeling too good? Maybe there's an aching in your life or whatever it might be. If we invite Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "Let the peace of Christ rule," where again, my friends? In your heart. In other words, Jesus is able to give you emotional peace. Emotional peace. And I tell you what, my friends, after the events of today, of this week, we do need emotional peace. The world that we're living in today is a world in which people's emotions are being ripped apart, in which as we go day by day, we start, maybe you start to feel this heavy weight of the world. But the promise is still there in the Word of God that if we invite Jesus Christ, He will rule our hearts. And I tell you what, we need that today. So the first thing we need, the foundation of it all, is spiritual peace. The second piece that we need is emotional peace. But then it gets really real very fast. Are you ready? The number three, relational what? Relational peace. Relational peace. The Bible says it this way, Romans chapter 12, verse 18. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with some men. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Now notice the Bible says it this way, my friends. It says, if possible. In other words, the Bible is not telling you that you have to force everybody to be at peace with you. But do your best to be at peace with all men. You see, this means that because a lot of the stress that we face today are people stress, aren't they? There are stresses that we might face at work. Maybe you have a boss that is very demanding. Maybe you have some challenges with some friends. Or maybe with your in-laws, you are an outlaw. Or maybe there are frustrating times with your family. Relational stress can be heavy upon the heart. But the Bible says, as far as it depends upon you and I, let us seek to be at peace with all men. For the Bible says it this way in John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I do what, my friends? I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. In other words, if you right now are experiencing some sort of relational stress, whatever it might be, God can give you peace in the midst of the storm. And the peace that God will give to you and I is not the peace that the world would give, because it is a peace that is better than anything that men can manufacture. And guess what, my friends? It is free. All you have to do is ask for it. You see, Jesus tells us that this is something that we can have, and if we choose to have it, God will give us this peace. But I want to dig a little bit deeper to find five keys to give us perfect peace. These are very practical keys, because it is one thing to say we need spiritual peace, we need emotional peace, we need relational peace, but Pastor, how do we do that in a practical way? Here are five principles, and I hope they will be a blessing to you. Principle number one, again, how many principles, my friends? Five. Man, you guys get A+. Principle number one, to give you more peace. I know it's small, but pray for the Lord to give you and I better eyesight. Number one is what? Obey God's principles. You might say, well, Pastor, that is very simple. I tell you what, my friends, it can save you a lifetime of heartache. This one principle alone can save you a lifetime of heartache. The Bible says it this way, Psalm chapter 119, verse 165. Those who love your law have what, my friends? Great peace. Nothing makes them stumble. If you and I want to have peace of mind today, let's do things God's way. And this does not only apply to us as individuals, but also in the church of the living God. We don't have to invent new things or different things. What we need to do is to go back to what? The Bible. And to do what God says. It's that simple. If we follow the principles of God, we will make better choices in who we marry, what types of careers we have, what we listen to, and the type of life we would have. Now, maybe, if you're like me, maybe in life you've made poor choices. Praise the Lord that where sin abounds, grace abounds what? Much more. And some of those choices have consequences, and those consequences are real. But you know what? If you have gone or gone a different way, come back and follow the Word of God. And Jesus will redeem the time. Amen? But the Bible's promise is true. Those who love your law have great peace. If we just did things God's way, we would be a happier people today. The secret to happiness is very simple. Just do what God says, and life will be simple. Because if Satan tries to do something against you, you have God on your side. And if you make choices to stand on principle, for example, keeping the Sabbath, and things don't turn out the way you hope they would, God will still take care of you. And if things happen in your life because of the choices you made, maybe your friends left you, because the lifestyle you chose is not the lifestyle they like to have fun around, God will give you more than enough friends if you follow His way. And maybe if the bank account goes a little bit low, because you have decided to be a faithful giver of God's church. And as you look at the bills, you start to say, wow, I don't know how we're going to make it. Guess who you've hired as your treasurer? The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I tell you, my friends, this is real. I remember when I went to Southern, my dad had encouraged me to go canvass and to do Bible work. I told my dad, Dad, you don't understand the struggle. Well, he kind of does. But you know, as a young adult, sometimes you think that the older adults don't know what you're going through. Trust me, my friends, they do know, maybe even more. And I told my dad, Dad, you know, I have a big balance at Southern Adventist University. The summer is when I make most of the money, you know, to pay that balance. I don't think me going to do Bible work and paying to register for the program to go Bible work is a good idea. He said, go anyways. I went into Atlanta, started to Bible work in Atlanta, and did an evangelistic series with a powerful preacher by the name of Ralph Ringer. He was gifted in length of time of preaching, but I learned a lot. 6 weeks of that and working in Atlanta and everything, and it was the end of the summer. And I remember going into the registrar's office and being ready to tell her, you know, it's okay if I have to fly back all the way to South Africa because I can't pay my bills. I don't want to hustle you. I don't want to do anything. I understand my choices. Now I'm going to leave with my choices. I remember going into the registrar's office, and as she looked at me, you know, they opened your account, and a lot of students have depression after going to the registrar's office. And looking there, and she says, you know, Moise, we're done. And I said, I knew I was done. My bill was about $15,000. So I say, well, thank you so much, ma'am. It was a great experience. And she says, what do you mean? Everything is paid for. You need to go register now. $15,000, my friends. I called my dad. He did not have that money. But I knew who had the money. God had the money. So when we do things God's way, God becomes our treasurer. Right? Amen. Number two, this might be for someone here today. I'm going to have to cruise a little bit fast so that we can land the plane on time. Number two, accept God's what? God's pardon. Some of us here today have not forgiven ourselves even after God has forgiven us. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 103, verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from what, my friends? From us. That's right, sister or brother. You might have been a great sinner, but God is a great Savior. And when God forgives, he forgives. And for you to question, or for me to question his forgiveness, is called doubt. Let us not doubt the word of God. If we have asked for forgiveness, and maybe we have asked for repentance, but I want to encourage you, as those of you who have been coming to prayer meeting, in order for us to have genuine repentance, who do we need? We need, that's right, Jesus through the Holy Spirit to give us the gift of true repentance. Because for many of us here today, we don't know the depth of our sin. But as well as we ask for forgiveness of our sins, we also need to ask, according to the book Steps to Christ, for a revelation of the infinite love of God for the sinner. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we have confessed our sins, he is faithful and righteous, or as the New King James says, just, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. From all unrighteousness. My friends, this is not me talking to you. It's the Word of God speaking to you. Forgive. Accept God's pardon for the things you have done. And be free in Jesus Christ. Number three, focus on God's presence. Moses, who had made in his life some very poor decisions. He was talented. He had a lot of different things going for him. He was a wise guy and all those things. But he had made some poor decisions in his life, and he learned one thing about being in the desert for 40 years. That he kept with him all the way as he was leading the children of Israel. And there was only one thing that he wanted above everything else. He says, God, go with us. What Moses learned from living a hard life is that there's one person that makes the world a difference, whatever situation you're in, and that is the presence of God. If God is in this place, if God is in this place, there is nothing to fear. Amen? You might be in a lion's den. You might be in a fiery furnace. You might be wherever you might be, but if God is with us, let's make it even more personal today, Lansing. Living in 2025 in an uncertain world, where evil seems to abound, we shall have no fear if God is with us. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, you will keep him in what kind of peace? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I want you to think about the hardest situation you're facing today, my friends. Some of us right now, we might be in one of the greatest crises in our life. We might feel like we're in a fiery furnace, and when we leave this church, we're going to go back to that crisis. It's going to be there, it's going to be there present, but let us remember one thing. If God is with us, we can have perfect peace in the storm. For the Bible says, as David knows very well in Psalm chapter 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen? Isn't the Word of God so good, my friends? And number four, we can't forget this. Trust God's what? Purpose. We might not understand why Sister Jane passed of cancer. We might not understand why Brother Bob lost his life in an accident, or why little Jimmy is paralyzed. We might not understand why these things are happening to us. We wanted to have a child, but we cannot have children. We had made a great choice for the Lord, but it seems as if things did not turn out the way we had hoped they would. We had prayed for a long time, but the news came back, and it's even worse than we thought. When you reach those moments in life, and many of you know those moments in life, you got to remember what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own, what, my friends? Understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Our understanding might not be enough in this life. As a matter of fact, most of the time, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't get it right. But if we trust in God and His purpose, we know He will make things right. I might not understand, or even in my time, I might not see what came out of this situation. But I know that if I acknowledge Him, He will make everything okay. Because God's ways are above our ways. And God's love and God's wisdom is above our wisdom. Like Job said as he was going through the trials of his life, he says, though he slay me, I will still do what? I will trust in Him. Though he slay me, I will trust in Him. During World War II, there was a young lady whose her country was being overrun by very dangerous forces, Germany and so forth at the time. And she was just 17 years old, and she decided to do what was right, and she would help different people to avoid being killed by those forces. And they captured her because she was helping the wounded, and they captured her and told her, we're going to kill you. And they gave her a chance to renounce her allegiance to her country and to her people and to just stop what she was doing. They put the rope around her neck and also gave her another chance and says, it doesn't have to end this way. Just tell us, who are the people you're working for? And you know what she says? She says, you will know their name when they come for you. Right there, they killed her. She did not see that all those different dangerous regimes were conquered. She did not see that day. But she stood for what she believed was right, that there was a greater purpose and a better choice of doing the right thing. Now, that is something that happened in the social world, but imagine for us in the spiritual world. Because there will come a day, my friends, where we're going to have to make some very serious choices. where the pressure will be there and our life might even be on the line. And when those times come, let us not give up the faith, but let us trust that God will have His way. Lastly, and this sounds very simple, but you know today, right now, you can have peace if we ask God for peace. You want to see it? The Word of God. It says in there, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, it says, "Be anxious about some things, and in some things by prayer and supplication. When you feel good, give thanksgiving. And let your request be made known to God, because He needs to hear it. And some of the peace of God will come into your life." No. Let's read the Word of God, my friends. It says, "Be anxious for what? For nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, will do what to your hearts? Guard your hearts, and especially what? Your minds, in Christ Jesus." Do you want peace today, my friends? We can ask for it. And the God that is faithful will give it to us. I know some of us here today, we carry very heavy burdens. And maybe I know, living and visiting many of you, that we face some real challenges, don't we? But I want to ask you, and I want to ask myself as well, to take it to the foot of the cross and say, "Lord, by faith, I ask for this peace that surpasses all understanding." The situation right now might be for your family. Maybe you're praying for your family. Maybe some of our children have walked away from the truth and we want them back, don't we? We want them back. Maybe for some of us, financially, it has been hard. And we need God to take care of our finances. Or maybe even better yet, teach us how to take care of our finances. And for some, maybe you've gone through a big loss in your life and you're starting to feel really alone. And we need Jesus to be there with us. Whatever you might have, as I pray, so give us a time to pray and to go to God and ask for peace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are not talking about a man's book. We are talking about the Word of God. The same Word that brought everything into existence. And today, Father, we're asking You to bring something into existence in our lives. And that is peace. But more than just peace, Father, we want You to live in our heart, to consume our mind. Father, at this time, there are things that have robbed us of our peace. And in this moment of prayer, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to lay some things at Your feet. Dear Heavenly Father, You've heard our prayer. But the beauty about giving it into Your hands, we know that Your hands are mighty to save. And by faith right now, You have given us this peace. And we ask, Father, that as we come in contact with the world, as we go from this place, that we will be able to point others to the peace giver as well. Thank you, Father, for your love and for your gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the church at 5400 West St. Joe Highway in Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Access their website at lansingadventist.org. This program has been a Strong Tower Radio production.